William Shakespeare said, "All the world is a stage." And so what I'm asking you to do today, next week, the week after, is to brave the stage. What does it mean when we do not run and hide from our world, but instead we brave the stage and we jump on with life? Why is this church here? Well, we are here to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Listen to that again, and then in a few seconds, I'm going to ask you to repeat it with me. We are here to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and we do that when we know God, love God, and serve God, serve others. All right, would you join me with that? I know you don't have it all memorized, but just as best you can, here we go. Why are we here? We are here to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Why? For the transformation of the world. How do we do that? When we know God, love God, and serve others. I was 7 years old the very first time that I was hired to work. Paid work. It was a Saturday afternoon in early June. The grass was growing so fast, it got out of control, and it was just a jungle out there. And as my dad mowed it, he realized it was way too heavy and thick, and so he gave me a rake and said, "You're hired, and I will pay you 10 cents. I was not on minimum wage. And after I had worked, my dad kept his promise, and he took me into the kitchen, and he laid out the 10 cents on the kitchen table. He didn't give me a dime. He gave me 10 pennies. And he said, "Scott, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of these pennies are yours. But the 10th one is God's. And you get to put that in the offering plate." Oh my gosh. I had watched all my life as my parents had been giving of themselves, not just in the offering plate, but in so many ways. They were such hard workers for the kingdom of God. And that next morning in the sunshine, this would have been one of those mornings where my mother let me put my own Brill Cream in. And I had Brill Cream too much in my hair and a penny in my pocket. And I walked in the sunshine that block and a half to church, and I sat in worship. Never before in my life had I been excited about the offering plate, but today I was. And that offering plate came by, and I, for the first time in my life, put part of myself in that offering plate. Guarantee you, that penny did not change one blessed thing in the life of that church. But it changed me. Now, about 3 years, 4 years, 5 years earlier, something like that, my father had been a pastor in a small church up on the prairies in North Dakota, up in the town of Napoleon. And Napoleon Church did a building project. In that congregation was a couple. They were farmers. And one night after the workday, as they sat at the supper table together, Mr. Farmer looked across the table at Mrs. Farmer, and he said, "Honey, I've been thinking. We've been saving up for that new car this year, and I think that our car is good enough. I'd like to suggest that we give that money to build God's kingdom with that building project." And Mrs. Farmer responded to him to say, "Oh, I am so glad to hear you say this, because we've been saving for that new refrigerator that I've so wanted, and I've been thinking about this all week, and I think that that refrigerator is going to last another year. I would like us to give the money for the new refrigerator to God's kingdom in the building project." And so that's what they did. Now, with those two stories put together, what is the commonality between them? It's not money. It's heart. It's a change of heart. When my dad laid those 10 pennies out, he was not trying to teach me finances. What he was trying to do was to teach me about the change of heart that comes with being on the stage, braving the stage, and putting your life into God's kingdom. when that farming couple was with each other, that conversation was not about finances. It was about a change of heart. Those two had lived their lives in the love of Christ all of their marriage. It was about that heart. Well, this month, as we are talking about Brave the Stage, this is a series that is all about stewardship. And what I love to preach about stewardship, because we get stuck thinking it's about money. It's not. It's about hearts. Why are we here? To make disciples of Jesus Christ. Each of us, all of us. For the transformation of the world, the transformation, the changing, the conversion of the world. This is what we're, who we are and what we do. This is an amazing thing. How do we do it? When we know God, love God, and serve others. Today we talk about knowing God. And next week we're going to talk about loving God. And the week after that we're going to talk about serving others. What does it take to know God? It is an amazing thing when we simply to say that we are able to know God. And of course, God is ultimately a mystery. But when we say that we're here to make disciples of Jesus Christ, what we're saying is we are here to get to know God. And that conversion is amazing. So I love it when I get to enter into conversation with people, when I get to hear stories. If somebody says to me, or I get to say to them, would you tell me about your conversion? Or another way that you would hear this is, how have you been saved? It is an amazing thing when I hear the stories that somebody says, oh my gosh, let me tell you. I was sitting in a worship service on October 13th of 2019. It was around 10 in the morning. And all of a sudden, there was this energy, there was this love, there was this warmth that filled my life, and I have been changed. I love those stories. And you want to know one of the reasons why I love them so much? Because I don't have one of those stories. I love it when I get to experience conversion and salvation and witness it in your lives. But you know what? Those thunderbolts, those lightning moments are like this huge thunderstorm from heaven, and the power of God opens and it just, that love of God washes over you. But let me tell you what salvation looks like in my life. Drip, 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 drip. There has never been a moment in my life when I have not been Christian. I don't have that conversion story. Oh, I have mountaintop stories. Oh my gosh, I love to tell those stories of those moments in my faith when Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit have just become this unbelievable reality to me. But there was not one moment. It has been God working on me. When somebody says to me, when were you saved? I have to answer, I haven't been saved. I'm being saved. For me, it's a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. And God says to me, Scott, good job. Good job. Now, can we talk about your relationships? How about we convert your relationships? Good job, Scott. Now, can we talk about your checkbook? Wouldn't it be neat if we could convert your checkbook? What are all the elements, the parts inside of my life that God has step by step been converting, that I've been saved and being saved on a day by day, drip, 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 drip basis? In Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This, oh my gosh, that's my verse. Because transformation is an ongoing process, and who I am today is not who I was 20 years ago. And it will not be who I am 20 years from now. We are all being saved in this ongoing process of conversion that says this is who we are as we seek to know God. Oh my gosh, the power of getting to know God. I want to tell you three stories that come right straight out of the Bible that are about this power of knowing God. And Moses went before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No." And the Nile River turned red. "Let my people go." "No." And gnats descended on Egypt. "Let my people go." "No." Frogs, those darn frogs, flies, gnats, boils, darkness. And Pharaoh said, "No, no, no," until finally, as the angel of death passed over Egypt, Pharaoh said, "Go now." One of the things that you do not see word for word inside of this story in the scripture is the fact that the Hebrew people were not ready for this. They had been in slavery for 400 years. They had no idea how to live in freedom. They did not know how to govern themselves. They did not know how to have tents and shelter for themselves. They did not know how to find food for themselves. They did not know. They were not ready. And God still said, "Out you go. Go." When we are called, when you and I are called to brave the stage, to step out into the world, a lot of times this has to be our response. "But God, I'm not ready." And God says, "I know. I'll be with you. I know. I'll be with you." Second story. Jeremiah was an amazing, incredible prophet. He was dark, and he, in so many ways, so negative, as he was confronting the last of the kings in southern Israel, in that nation of Judah, that small remnant that was left. For 200 years after the fall of the northern part of the Israel nation, this small nation survived. But the way that it did it was by compromising itself. The way that it did it was in negative ways. It was by, in so many ways, disobeying God. And Jeremiah came to say, "You have got to change, and you have got to change now, or this is going to fail. This is going to fall. You will not be able to make it." And that's exactly what happened. Jerusalem fell, and Jeremiah was there. The people were carried off into slavery, and Jeremiah was there. But then he wrote this letter over to the Jewish leadership in Babylon, and he said, "You've got to be present where you are. You don't want to be here, but here's where you are. It's time for you to plant gardens. It's time for you to eat your harvest. It's time for you to have children and to let your children be married. It's time for you to have grandchildren. It's time for you to pray for the city in which you live, even though you don't want to be there. Be present where you are." Why? Because the people weren't ready. We're not ready. We're not ready to accept this new life. We're not ready to move on. We're not ready. And God says, "I know, but I will be with you. Be present where you are." Third story. And Jesus was walking on the road with his disciples when from off to the side, 10 men who had leprosy started yelling at him, and they wanted to be healed. They knew who Jesus was, and they knew that he had healing power. And so they began to call, and Jesus said, "You're good. I want you to go to the temple, go to the priests, and they will check you out, and they will tell you that you're doing okay." And so those 10 men started to go to the temple, and on the way they were healed. One of them looked down, looked at his hands, and said, "Oh my gosh." And he turned around and went back to Jesus to simply say thank you. And Jesus said, I'm so glad you're here. Where are the other nine? The one who came back was not even Jewish. He was Samaritan. It's not about who we are. It's about how we seek to know God. Here's the thing. A lot of times when we have these major changes in our lives, we're just not ready for them. Sometimes those changes are horrific and bad. Oh my goodness, is there one of us that has not had that phone call in the middle of the day or the middle of the night that told us about that car accident? Is there one of us that has not had a friend or ourselves that has had to hear that word cancer? Is there one of us that has not had disaster happen in our lives? But is there one of us who has not had the great stuff, the good stuff happen? How many times have we received those phone calls that are just joy, pure joy? You know what? We're still not ready for those. One of the things that I just dread, and every time I hear of somebody who has hit the Powerball, that won the lottery, yay! Oh my gosh, is there a more deadly thing that could happen in your life? How many people has just winning the lottery destroyed? Why? Because we're not ready. We're not ready even for the good stuff. And God says, I know. But you need to know that in your life, in those journeys, in those surprises, there's going to be joy and there's going to be hope. But I'm not ready. I know. I know. But God will go with you. Be present where you are. And you need to realize there will be joy and there is hope. Colleen and I experienced this really powerfully. At least I was so watching. In the last 2 months, we've been back and forth to Mayo Clinic multiple times because Colleen had jaw surgery. And it's going so wonderfully. But each time we were there, we got to sit in the waiting room and to watch the people around us. And I'm just amazed. I'm amazed at people. People whose lives have been just turned upside down by whatever physical condition is going on in their body, and they are there at Mayo because they know there's hope. And it is incredible to watch people, and what you know inside of their lives was that that not one of them was ready for what hit them. After an accident, or when an illness hits, or when there is a chronic condition that is in our bodies, and we say, but God, I'm not ready for this. And when you step into those waiting rooms in Mayo, what you hear is God saying, I know, but I'm here in the waiting room with you. Just be present right where you're at. Here's where the healing is, and in that healing there is joy, and there is hope. This is our life. This is who we are. Why are we here? To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of that world. And we can't transform the world until we are transformed. We can't change the world until we have been changed. That conversion, for some of us, is a lightning bolt moment. And for others, it's drip, drip, drip. And slowly, God changes us. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But Lord, I'm not ready. I know. But I'll go with you. Be present right where you're at. And know that in the middle of it, that God is there in joy and in hope. May it be in your life this week that this becomes your reality, knowing that it's not about being ready, but I'm not ready. Yeah, so what does that have to do with it? Here you go. None of us are ready. And yet God still says, I'm with you. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I give you thanks for all the ways in which you have moved and worked inside of our lives. Let there be joy. Grant to us, Lord, hope that day by day we may move.